Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Well, it looks like I'm having issues with my Facebook Live this evening, but it's not going to stop the show from going on, you know, because I don't let anything stop the show. So, you know, I do not start the show off without prayer, so let's just go into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. I thank you, Jesus, for your grace and mercy. I thank you, Jesus, for your love and kindness. I thank you, Jesus, once again, for your unconditional love, because it is that that has got us from tragedies to triumph to prosperity. I thank you for the guest that's coming on here tonight. I thank you for that man of God. Ooh. He is a powerful man. I thank you for allowing us to cross paths. I thank you for those who are going through this situation of this month is sexual awareness or sexual abuse awareness month. And I thank you for covering all of those who have gone through, going through this situation right now. Let them know that their situation is just temporary. It is only temporary, Lord. I thank you that you cover them and shower them with your love. And it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. So with that being said, you all know that this month marks, April marks Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. And with that being said, we have had a phenomenal month of awesome guests and their testimonies. We started off with our first weekend with Dr. Yolanda Jerry, and she talked about how her innocence was taken away from her. And then we rounded off with our next one was Sir Allen, and he talked about his story and how he's triumphed and come from where he was and where he is now and where he's about to go. And then last weekend, we had Miss Vera Thomas, who talked about date rape. Because it can happen at any age, whether you're a young person or you're older. And it's funny because, just to let you know, she was 18. She had just turned 18 when she experienced her date rape experience. Now, for those who are normally tuning in or live, I'm not sure as to why I'm not able to get it. So I'm going to try to restart my phone because that's what it's instructing me to do. But that's not going to stop the one monkey from the show. But I do want to introduce, I have a sponsor, and I want to introduce, this show is being produced or sponsored by Paradise Mortuary and Cremation Services, where their motto is dignified, respectful, where their dignified, respectful, and compassionate service you can depend on. The owner and president is Henry J. Milton. Their motto is serving loved ones' legacy through a service of class and sophistication. Their promise begins with the initial phone call, and you can reach them at 678-567-7512. They're located 464 Atlanta Street, Marietta, Georgia, 30060. Whew, it feels good to do that. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And I just want to thank all those who have been tuning in and been faithful. And for those who are not aware, we do have a Chronicles of a Favorite Woman Facebook page. And I want to thank those who have taken the time out to go on the page and to like the page. Soon, just to let you all know, my lives will be leaving my personal page, and I'll be sending it over to my Chronicles page. So please keep that in mind that starting next Sunday, as a matter of fact, I'll be doing my lives on my Chronicles of a Favorite Woman Facebook page. If you have not checked it out, please check it out and like. This evening, I'm going to try to get this Facebook on my personal account to work. It is what it is, but it doesn't stop us from moving forward. Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. It is this month, and we are all familiar with sexual abuse awareness. We all know that sexual abuse can come from physical coercion, where you beefing them up and you getting that cow fat to do what you need to do. It can come in any color. It can come in any gender, male and females. We all know we talk about females all the time, but you actually have men who go through that as well. And as a result of it, they go through their tragedy. We call it a tragedy of whatever the situation may it be. They go through just as much as women, if not worse than women as well. But the good thing about God's grace and mercy is how he can take us up and he can mold us and grind us and develop us, because there's always lessons in any situation, and this is no different. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others my special guest, and I have been so waiting for this conversation to happen tonight. So with that being said, I want to make sure that I have the right person on the line. Am I speaking with Sir Marketoon?
I'm right here.
I thought that was you. So I want to present to some and introduce to others Sir Marketoon Hagins. How are you? And thank you for accepting the invitation to come this evening.
You're welcome. Anytime, I think it's about our second or third time now.
Yes, it's the second time, actually, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yep, it is the second time. Oh, we got it. We got it. We got it. Y'all, I was able to get the Facebook Live up. So, hey, I am now about to go live. So, with that being said, I tell you, no monkey can't stop this show. It ain't about to happen here. So, with that being said, for those who are just tuning in to Facebook Live, my name is Bettina Kirkendall, and then you're tuned in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. We had a little technical difficulties, but we are here, we are live and back. And like I said, when you got powerful people of God here sitting there praying, like me and my guest, Sir Marketoon Hagins, there's nothing that can't stop us. Nothing that can't stop us. So with that being said, you know, this is our month of sexual awareness, sexual abuse awareness month, and it is a prevalent issue, unfortunately, and it's a growing issue, which is sad. But I do know throughout all things, there's something that comes out of it, and you are a perfect example. So to get this started, I want you to introduce yourself, say who you are, what you do, and why you love doing what you do.
Well, my name is Sir Marketoon Hagins. I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, back in the day in 1960. And I grew up there, and I finally left there after having, I had a couple of children. We had a couple of children up there, and so I'm a father now. Grandfather of five now, so that I'm happy about that. I'm also an author. I wrote a book called Economic Evangelism, A Bold New Movement for Finance and Improvement. I'm also a businessman. I started my business out of being a straight hustler. I started with $96 and I grew it to a 10,000 square foot warehouse and shipping all over the world. And supporting small businesses and families, doing fundraisers for families. And I'm a community activist. I just love to serve God's people. I'm a strong believer. And if you when you support, when you do more work for the community, when you master community service, you master customer service. So I always believe in giving back to the community, and I love it. And I want more of it. And I'm glad that I'm getting ready to write another book. Soon a series of books, to be exact. And once I get those into the field, and most of them will be all about recovery, how to recover from all the different social ills and how to take that and really begin to turn your life around. You know, like I.
And you said turn your life around. You mentioned quite a few things, and congratulations on your books. I mean, I know you have one out now. We're going to talk about that a little later. But when I met you through a mutual friend, and I heard your story when you came up and you talked about it. And I remember coming to your booth and having that conversation. It was just powerful. And I want to talk about that, being that we're talking about Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. So we're going to talk about, we're going to touch on a few things, but to start us off and to end where you are now. And the show is titled tonight, From Tragedy to Triumph. So I want to talk a little bit about the initiation, the tragedies that you endured.
Oh, that's simple. But it was complicated at the same time. it really was. It was amazing how that happened. But it was, you know, Virginia, I was groomed into being molested from 8 years old. And I didn't even know what grooming was, but, you know, looking back what I know now, it was a female. She did, you know, a real good job at doing it, coercing me and coaching me, and she got to me, and it was terrible. 8 years old, you think because it was a girl, it'd be, I felt better. No, I did not wake up in the morning knowing that I was going to be, you know, molested like that, and I was terrified to go back over there again, and coming from a very strict, you know, family mother. Strict mother, you know, at that age, what am I doing telling my mother? You know, I don't want to go. I don't want to go there. Like, you going, get yourself together. You know, what I say, I ain't going. So that didn't happen. So I had to go back to the lines then, but I didn't realize, you know, in my spirit, it's like, should I tell? I knew something bad was going to happen. When I did that, you know, if I've done that.
Uh-huh.
And so I just held it in. And I think at some point in my experience, you know, because this went on for a couple of years, is that to be able to hold something back that important, you know, if I could do it again, I would just tell it and pay the consequences. I know that's kind of... 2020 hindsight, but I believe that you know it is danger in some situations, but that situation was dangerous, you know. So, but it is danger, you know, dealing with, you know, with my when it rolled into my uncle a couple of years later, you know. So that's when it got dangerous, because my family is very, you know, that whole mix of family was, you know, I knew at, you know, at 11 years old, these are some dangerous people, you know?
Right.
And you just didn't mess around with these people, you know what I'm saying? And deal with those kind of, you know, dealing with they're my family, and I know how dangerous these people are, you know? The stories I heard, so I knew they would have killed this particular guy, uncle, you know? And I knew that, and I didn't want that on my conscience that someone would go to prison, you know? So I just told him that particular night, don't put your hands on me again, you know? And when he tried to attempt to, you know, touch me again, I said, the next time you touch me again, I'm telling my family. And he knew what that meant. By that time, I was 13. So I was, you know, 6'2", you know? And I just, you know, still dug it, but I was caught in that trap and didn't realize, you know, how much the trap I was until he wanted me to, you know, physically, you know, anal, you know, when I had anal loved with him. And I was like, enough of this crap. You know, so I tell people, I ain't trying to tell it.
You know, to endure something like that at such a young age, I could definitely can relate to that. But I can only imagine how you felt, you know, and then having to do it, just being exposed to something like that when we're supposed to be playing with our games and playing with our little toys and stuff like that. We're being introduced to things that we didn't even ask to be introduced to, and yet here we are faced with it. But I admire you for the standing up to the fact that you said that if you put your hands on me again or if you touch me again, I'm going to tell it. You know, I admire you for that because a lot of people like myself who are scared, we go into silence. A lot we go into silence and we carry this for years and years and years until we develop into an older person. And then now we're dealing with, which brings me to my next question, is as a result of all that you endured, what was the result of it?
Well, the result of it was going to be suicide. And so being there that night and really, I'm really feeling it that night, from that night. I mean, I remember clearly that I was crying out. I was crying out to God, you know, help me, help me, help me, Father, help me. You know, and I got the razor in my right hand. I'm looking at my two hands right now. The razor in my right hand and my left wrist is up ready to slice it. And I'm screaming at the top of my lungs in my room, you know, and I'm begging God to help me, you know. And he did. And I calmed down. I realized and I had enough energy in me. You know, at 13, I'm pretty smart little kid, because by that time I was already a full-fledged, you know, entrepreneur, you know, making money every day. So I knew I was better. I knew there was something special about me, and that's what I was yelling out. I said, y'all going to miss me. Y'all going to miss me. Then I started saying, I'm better than y'all. I know I am, and I know I have gifts and talents, you know. And I think a lot of that came from probably my father, just a subliminal other message, thinking about my certain people that would miss me if I did this, you know? Uh-huh. And I said, I just couldn't let them down. I just couldn't do it that way. And I promised God I would never do it. If I die, it will never be due by suicide, you know? Because I realized that after I knew I didn't do it, I knew that I'd never do that again. There's never going to be that kind of pain that's going to let me take my own life.
I admire your strength. I admire your strength. And I tell you, isn't God on time when you call on him? When that desperate time of need, when you know that your back is against the wall, I understand suicide, the suicide attempt. I understand I'm about to lose my mind. I had to call on him, literally call on him at the top of my lungs. So I understand where you come from with that, my brother. I understand.
I think you overstand.
He is right there.
Ooh,
he is right.
When you don't think he is, you better hold on.
You better hold on
with all you got.
Your life depended on it.
Absolutely. Because it does.
Because your life does depend on it.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what the next book is about, holding on like your life depends on it. You know?
That's right. You're right. It's, you know, and I know that your story goes into a lot of other things. And we got to get you back on the show. I will tell you that. We got to get you back on the show. But I know that it led you to different things. You mentioned that you were an entrepreneur at a young age. So you were going through all this trauma and drama and this tragedy, and you end up being an entrepreneur. Tell me about that.
Yeah, at the age of 9, my life started to really take a turn. And I began to acknowledge that I was interested in how things were being broadcasted on TV screen, and how these products ended up in my house, you know. So the coalition between that TV and that product being in my house, I said, you know what, I need to know more about this. How did they get people to do that? Just remember, so when my mother used to, I used to always go shopping with my mother. I used to love the, well, I won't go shopping with you. I'll go with you. And I was her like a little buddy like that. You know what I'm saying? Because she can count on me for that, to lift bags and to help her. And, you know, and she had to yell at me and talk me down. And, you know, she was like that with me. So just being in that space, I used to always pay attention to how they were taking my mother's money, you know? And then it got to a point where I was, when my mother would go shopping, I'll hang around the cash registers and watch how they were taking money all day long. And I said, man, I got to do something like that, you know? I want to be like that. I want to take, so I got into, you know, I'm buying candy wholesale, you know, and by the pound, and, you know, at 10 years old. You know, 11 years old, and I started selling, you know, and I'm like, oh, I like the way people give me their money, you know? So I just developed a system that worked for me. I realized that, you know, looking at commercials, it was about brands. They kept saying the brand, the number one brand, the world's number one brand. So I said, okay. So it's like you got all these brands. Like, my mother smoked Pall Malls, but there was Marlboros, there was all kinds of cigarette, Lucky Strikes, there was Camels, there was all kinds of commercials for cigarettes and liquor and alcohol, Seagram's, and this goes on, vodka, this goes on and on. But I realized that my mother was buying Pall Malls, and it seemed like from the commercials to me, you know, so I realized that that was her brand. So I said, okay, brand. Branding is the number one thing that people buy, is the brand. Mm-hmm. And so I started to realize that through the commercials and through picture ads and stuff like that and using celebrities, I said, man, this is marketing, you know? So I knew I had that system going. It was branding, marketing. So I used to realize that in there they were trying to get people to buy their brand, they were using psychology, giving away free cigarettes, stuff like that. I said, okay, psychology. And so I took on branding, marketing, psychology. And then I realized how simple it was to do it and how they use simple tactics to get people to buy their products and services. I realized that simplicity was the key to it all, you know? So I said, okay. And I realized I had branding, marketing, psychology, and simplicity. And I said, okay, there's one more that makes sense to me, is duplication. And how he duplicated, all replicated, and it intrigued me. And so I developed that little system for myself, and it's called the Five Principles of International Marketing. It wasn't the Five Principles of International Marketing back then. It was a system of how to get people to like me and to buy what I'm selling. And I learned that at 10 years old, 11. We used to have a white boy used to come around and pick us up. You know, some of the inner city kids to go sell turtle candy and stuff like that. Man, I used to make a killing. So that whole thing came from so who I am today is who I was back then, you know?
So
I'm a businessman.
Exactly. So you're a businessman. Yes, no doubt about that. And you started at such an early age. And, you know, even with the success that you were making, you were coming into your, I will say niche, but your passion on what he was designing you for. How did you deal with the being abused and then deal with other things and still maintain that mental, you know, of, okay, I need to, you know, this is, I'm finding out what my passion. So because we have people who are, you know, who are listening on here now, who may be going through. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it. I know I got it. Because the aftermath, it stopped at 13. So the aftermath was, okay, now is my turn. When I had to turn the page. I had to make another chapter I said, this is not the end. You know, I said, okay, I didn't kill myself. I'm a business dude. I'm making money almost every day, daily, you know, and I'm a neighborhood rug rat kind of guy. I'm in the hood, you know, doing what I'm doing. My mother didn't have to watch me all the time because I take care of myself in the streets and think that she didn't have time to watch me anyway, okay? So at 13, I became, that's when it started to change. When I didn't kill myself, I realized I was in business, and I realized I had skills and talents that people in my family and all my little friends didn't have. And that was a basketball, you know? And the basketball basically saved my life because, I mean, I was always, most of the time, always playing somewhere at some court in the hood. I'll go and dominate, you know, because I took all that pain and I turned, at that point, passion was basketball. So I was pretty good at it. You know what I'm saying? So so many years, it took me through 13, 14, 15, 16, took me to do middle school, took me through high school. Basketball took me to college, you know? And I wasn't a great student, you know, but I, you know, my uncle, the molester, he decided to talk me into going to college. And I did it because I thought I ain't going to college. I got to sell some dope and I do what I need to do in the hood. I'll be all right. He said, man, go to school, man. You got talent. You got this talent with numbers and, you know, and skills of selling. You know, you got to go, at least go get some management. So I took up small business management in college for a couple of years. And it kind of straightened, you know, the myths out, you know? Because there's the myths. People got myths when it comes to business. But I realized that I needed to start working on my passion. And my passion was basketball, and then when I got out of basketball and got out of college and all that, you know, I, you know, became a full-fledged crackhead, you know, so dopey.
Wow.
So, yeah, I did it almost every day, you know. Then at 24, I started to smoke crack. You know, I was sniffing from 21 to 24, so that's another one, easy one. I drowned myself in the drug, I self-medicated myself. Until I tried to literally kill myself with drugs, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. God wouldn't let me do it. One night I was getting high, and the next when I woke up that morning, I never picked up another crack of heroin again. Now 28 years. So
wow.
So my passion was sales. I went into what I love. I loved the business, and I grew the business bigger and better than I ever thought I could.
So you said that you knew the business. You knew the business of drugs is what you're saying?
No, I said the drugs almost took my life, you know, if I didn't stop.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, but that sales techniques and tactics and stuff, you
got
know,
you.
Contributed
got
to,
you.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you
I
know,
get,
street sales.
I get,
yeah, I became very prolific in the market. You know, I can talk. I can work for any major company right now on their marketing team, and I help them build more wealth than they ever seen before in their life. So we're going to get
exactly.
there. Exactly. You know.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to take this moment here. For those who are just tuning in, you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Bettina Kirkenall, and I have the privilege and the pleasure of having Sir Marky Duhagan here to talk about how taking tragedies and turn into prosperity. That we're actually getting to that part. I cannot wait. So we talked about, you all know this is Sexual Abuse Awareness Month, and we're ending the month with none other, Sir Marky Du, with a phenomenal story. And just to give a little highlight for those who are just tuning in, you know, we're talking about a gentleman, a brother, a powerful man of God,
who was once molested, not just by a female, but a male as well, who was introduced to at such a young age, took his situation and found out that economic money was where it was, and managing money and how to make money at such a young age, taking, you know, that seed that starts, okay, you know, with the abuse, and then finding something that he could do, and then cultivating it. Then he realized, and it's interesting, that one of the molesters convinced him to go to college. And now he takes his passion. You're nurturing it now. You're nurturing it by going to college, and now you're learning the ins and outs, how to manage your money, how to set up your business, how to do whatever. And then he's street smart on top of that, you all. Okay? So he has education and the street to teach him where he is today. Got addicted, you know, was about to take his life, suicide, and did not do it. God was ready and saved him. He asked. Because when you call on him, and I'm talking about Jesus, he will come and get you where you are, no matter where you are. If you call on him, he will come and get you. I'm a testament of that. So as a result, he made a promise he wasn't going to take his life. And then he went to college and came out and became addicted to crack. And then now we're at a point now where we're going to talk about where the prosperity. We talked about the tragedy. That's great. And where it will lead to. And now we're going to get ready to go into the prosperity part, because I'm very, very, very excited about it. But before I do, I need to take a sponsor break and know that this show is being sponsored by Paradise Mortuary and Cremation Services. They're a dignified, respectful, and compassionate service you can depend on. It's by the owner and president is Henry J. Middleton, and they're located on 464 Atlanta Street, Marietta, Georgia, 30060, and their contact number, 678-567-7512. Their motto is serving loved ones' legacy through a service of class and sophistication. The first, it all begins with the initial call. So don't forget. Thank you for that, because I appreciate as we're going into and Chronicles is growing, is that we've been exposed to a lot of different venues and avenues. So it's only the best is yet to come. And I will continue to say that as we have Sarah Marker do Hagen's here, because the best is yet to come. So let's talk about that. You went through the tragedy. You went through the turmoil. And now you're in how you took your tragedy and turned it into prosperity. Let's talk about that.
Oh, man, that's wonderful. You know, when I first came to Atlanta, right, and I'm looking, so I got a regular job, right? So I, you know, my brother and my brother-in-law was working at this little spot over here, so it was a cupcake place or a pie company. So I said, okay. So they got me in there. I said, okay, I got to work, you know. There's a guy in here. Started humping and humping. And so finally I met an artist. He was working with us, you know, working with me at the company. So and the guy was good at what he was doing, and I asked him to kind of, you know, to make me, so I said, you know what? I got a great idea. God said, sell religious T-shirts. I said, oh man, sell religious T-shirts. I said, wait a minute, I'm just fresh off crack cocaine, heroin, alcoholic, just getting clean, and you want me to sell religious T-shirts, Lord? I said, you got to be kidding me. Religious T-shirts. The first shirt I did was kind of a flop, but I sold them. But I went right into a one that was, it said, thank you, Jesus. Just words. And I was slinging those T-shirts like crazy out there on that block, on the corner of McAfee and Candle Road, right here in Decatur, right? And the rest is history. I mean, I went from T-shirts. Then I eventually got into socks. Then I moved from socks in T-shirts. I moved into the oils. And I moved into the oils and moved to the lotion, the bubble bath, the shea butter. So I just kept growing over the years, you know, different things, you know. But none of that stuff was none of that really was just for me, because I was wholesaling right from the beginning with the T-shirts. I was getting those T-shirts made for $4, and I was selling for $60 a dozen.
Wow.
I'm making $12 profit. I was selling retail for $10, and I was wholesaling for $60 a dozen for get people who can go ahead and double their money. But everything I did, from the oils, the socks, all that stuff, I sold wholesale. I retail and I wholesale. I knew from working with one of the greatest companies on the face of the earth, as far as I was concerned back then, those in the early years, the 80s, it was A.L. Williams back then. Today,
uh-huh.
I think they call it Primerica. They call it Primerica today. But back then, I was taught by Art Williams. He was basically the leader of the company in a country boy down here in Georgia. And he was teaching how to recruit. And I said, shoot, I know how to do that. I know how to do that. And what happened, and this is, I had just looked, the dude that recruited me into AL Williams, he recruited me, and I ended up passing him and the guy that trained me. I passed them both. I was number one in recruiting, number one in sales, number one in premiums. The reason why I said that, because that's why I tell people, never underestimate your mind when you're ready to move. And I moved that now into Atlanta. When I took that and I realized I got to a point, and I knew it was all God, but I got to a point where I realized, I said, you know what? This is what God wants me to do. I can just tell. Because I'm the wholesaler, and I'm always talking to people about, you know, God and the creator and things and this and Allah and all that. So, you know, I'm already a tactician, like a doctor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the psychology was always a big piece. See, the thing about psychology, Fujita, I used it mostly on me. I would con myself and talk myself into being a greater person than I was yesterday. That's how I grew my company.
That speaks volumes when you talk about some of the past history you have, some of the things you indulged, you were, well, faced without, you know, without your consent, and
yep.
then
yep.
some of the you chose, yep. some of the roads that you chose to go on. What took you through that tragedy stage? And then here you are, taken all of those, which tells me, let me plug this in, that regardless of what you may go through, there's always a way to turn that tragedy into something else. And in this case, for Sir Markadu, it was turning his tragedy into prosperity.
Yes.
Okay.
And helping others. It definitely helping others. That was the major
mm-hmm.
calling. That was the calling on my life right there, to bless others in so many different ways. They can't even imagine, you know, how many millions and millions and maybe millions of dollars that went through the economy since I've been helping people. And I'm still doing
mm-hmm.
it to this day. And we're getting ready to move this. We're going to move this economy like nobody's business. I mean, just the knowing.
Yes.
That God has said, okay, son, all right, I want you to go out. I want you to find some of the most other God-loving, God-fearing people like you. And I want you to team up with them. And I want you to prove, son, I want you to prove to them through you, I'm going to prove to them through you, that the next wave of business owners There's going to be a flood of them from coast to coast, border to border. The next wave is going to be ex-convicts, ex-drug addicts, ex-molesters, ex-people have been molested, ex-prostitutes, ex-this, ex-that, and ex-that. Gangbangers, you name it. Because there's nowhere else for people like me to go. The only thing I had when I was 9, 10 years old was economics. I knew it, though. But I knew it, Regina. I knew it. He said, you got to make money because ain't nobody going to take care of you. That's why I encourage parents and grandparents. You got to get serious with your children and how what you present to them and give them easy ways to make money. But believe, read my book. Read my book. You'll get a good idea how to bring your children up in an environment of economics. Now, all of them may not gravitate towards it, but I tell you what. See, I'm not responsible just for my children. I'm responsible for your children as well. Because I tell anybody, just go on Facebook and look at some of my teachings.
You too.
I mean, I wasn't going to. Go ahead, because you know, I'm going to let it out tonight, Fortuna, before we get off this call. You know I'm going to let it go. Well, it's the time. I'm not ashamed of me, who I really am. I mean, God blesses me with it. I'm on another space where the blessings begin. So now I realize I'm not drinking from the cup of love anymore. I'm drinking from the saucer, the overflow.
How about that?
That's where I drink from. I drink from the overflow, baby. I drink from the saucer.
Yes.
So that's where we're at. When I was nominated and awarded that gift, I knew right then that Sir McAdoo was going to have to take a little step back. Not a little bit, but a lot bit. Because, Fortuna, remember this. I was a molester at 8, so I was 13. I was known as Mark back then. As I busted out of that 13 when I wasn't going to commit suicide, I actually went to McAdoo, and it's documented. So McAdoo was this most prolific little ball player and hustler, right? I could do what I do on the court and make me some money on the street, right? I said, you know, I took it from, you know, I went from the street knowledge and took the college knowledge. You know, that's all I did. Street knowledge to college knowledge. And so I went from Mark to McAdoo. When I went to Haverhill, Massachusetts, became an icon out there. And I think I said, I'll make sure I send you all those newspaper clippings. Did I send those newspaper clippings to you?
Mm-mm.
I'll send them to you tonight. Send them to you. I wish I had done it. I'm going to send them to you. Now watch this. I became Sir McAdoo in 1990 or 91. So I've been Sir McAdoo all this time, and Sir McAdoo became that community activist and the most prolific hustler that I ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Prosperity.
Yes, indeed. And I did, and all of a sudden, now the heavens. The heavens and the earth, they come together, and they say, you know what? This brother, this college, I'm going to go ahead. Can I spill it out now?
Okay.
You want me to hold it? You want me to spill it?
No, you can't.
Okay, I'm getting ready. I'm going to let it out now. So thank God. So 2 months ago, maybe 9, 10 weeks ago, I get a phone call from a college down in that some of the members
Texas.
Of the down in Texas. I'm going to tell you the name of the school. And they called me and they said some of our followers have been following you over the years. So we want to award you an honorary doctorate degree.
Won't he do?
I got honorary doctorate degree for what? I'm thinking like for what? Well, for economics and education.
Won't he do it?
So the Christian University of Southern Indiana, down there in Houston, Texas, called me. And now Dr. Mark P. Hagen's senior. So now, can you imagine Sir McAdoo got to get out of the way and let Dr. Mark come into the game? Oh.
Yes. Every round, like Jacob's Ladder, every round goes higher and higher. You're not the product of what you've been from. And while we're at it, before we even go further, I want to, you know, we have so many people that are going through, like I mentioned, this is Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. And we have people who are going through. We have other brothers that are going through. I had the privilege of having one on here before. But I just want to ask you, what are some nuggets of wisdom that you can offer someone who may be going through, who may be struggling? What nuggets of wisdom? Because you are proof that regardless of what tragedy happens, there's prosperity and triumph that can come out of it.
Ooh, that's very powerful. And if I'm gonna have to go with that one, I would have to go with the big one, forgiveness. You have to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself first. You said forgive yourself for not listening to God even more of what God has to say. He's been talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive yourself. It's not your fault. Forgive yourself. Mm. It's not your fault. Somebody betrayed that. Somebody perpetrated you on you. It's not your fault. So forgive yourself for allowing the evil to have that kind of power over you.
Mm-hmm.
And take your power back. Nuggets and wisdom? There ain't no nuggets. That's a $5 million bowl of golden crust banging down on your cranium. You're going to take it and run. Forgive yourself, and you make sure you turn it into some of the most glorifying things that God could ever imagine. You didn't even think that God was going to use you like this. And forgive you and let go and let God. God is in the blessing business. God is in the blessing business, and so are you. So when you become more of a blessing, then you can help his people, just like we do.
Mm.
That's what I'm talking about. It's so funny
that, you know, the things that you say, the things that I talk about all the time, you know, forgiveness. First of all, understanding your power, the power that you have. And once you understand your power and you start utilizing your power,
you got to take it back first. Take it back.
You're right.
Ooh.
Yes. Yes.
Get your power back. So God said, get your power back. That evil ain't got that kind of power over you. You're allowing it to be having power over you. The devil
is a lie.
And the truth ain't in him. Wake up,
God, people.
Arise, oh, Lord.
I know that's right. And I'm so appreciative that you say that. I am so appreciative that you say that, regardless of what your situation, regardless of what you've gone through. And we have so many people that are suffering, and some of them don't have that courage yet or haven't found or found that courage. And I will suggest, dig deep. There is better out there. And once you understand that you got that power, and tell it.
Oh, wait.
Tell it. Honey, you no longer, you put that shame and blame to where it belongs to the perpetrator and not you.
Absolutely.
The perpetrator,
you don't owe none of that.
Not,
no, you're older now, but are you wiser? You're older,
yes.
But are you wiser? And if you're wise,
yes.
You got to do it not only for you, but if you have children, to do it for your children and your children's
yes.
children. You must. I'll tell it. I get to a therapist like I got.
Yes,
I've been in therapy for a long time, and I'm telling
me
you,
too.
I'm going to be in therapy for at least the next 10 years because
I know
my God, and my God said,
that's
no,
right.
no. You need this. You know, you need this therapy. You know, and
yes.
because
and
of therapy,
no
I balance.
And it.
Ooh.
There is
yes.
no shame.
Zero.
And
go
no
get
shame.
To a good therapist and get
yes,
happier.
Sir.
And do it for you
yes,
and not
sir.
For nobody else. Do it for you
that's
and not
right.
for nobody else. Don't now that kind of thing, don't do it for your kids. Don't do it for your friends. Don't do it for your family. Don't do it for your in-laws. And definitely don't do it for your outlaws. Do it for
yes,
yourself.
Sir. Yes,
I'm
sir.
Telling you. And then
yes,
you watch how watch the
is.
Greatness in you come out. Watch the greatness
yes.
arise in you. When you take that
yes.
power back, and you know where
yes,
your
sir.
Power source is, that power
yes,
that you're
right.
getting back, that's God's power. That's his
yes,
power.
Sir.
Go get God's power out of what's going on around you. Say, no, I'm not going to let you take God and use my father up like that. And you're not going to
mm-hmm.
use me to get it happen. No. I'm
right.
going to tell you what I tell some of my inner circle people that I teach. Okay? I said, learn the word no and learn it well. And study the word, study the letter N and study the letter O.
That's right.
Study those
listen.
Two letters and master those
sir,
two
Mark
letters.
Mark, no is
yes,
a complete
ma'am.
Sentence.
No
yes. is a complete
period.
Sentence. Please
period.
As a
period.
No, answer is no. Period.
No.
Explanation point.
Yep.
Yes.
That's it. Yep. And then when you start telling the devil, when you start telling the evil, we get hung up on the devil. The devil's kind of mm-hmm. out of sight. But evil
right.
is right in front of you. You can see evil people. These are evil people that have been around you, and they've been serving you evil crap. I almost said something else. They've been serving you evil crap for a long time. For a long time. It's time for you to stop letting evil crap on you. That's called your friends, your family, your in-laws, and your outlaws. All of them. Shut them down. Shut them down. That's another big nugget for you. Shut them down. That's
you
it.
You can also separate yourself.
Quick.
Cross
today. Start tonight.
There's a line in the sand, honey. There's a line in
starting
the sand.
Tonight.
And it's so funny. Our hour is about to end. God, we have to get you to come back. We most definitely got to get you to come back.
Anytime. You know that, girl. You got
I thank you. Listen, I know you do. I appreciate you. I got to thank Ms. Vera because yeah. she's the reason why I met you. But before we leave, if people want to get in contact with you, how would they do that?
Okay, listen, the number one way is to call me or text me, whatever you want. But I'm not great on text. You can call me. As long as you got something you really want to get with me, share that we can move the community. We can become huge in dealing with fundraising. So that's a big market, okay? So you can reach me at my cell, 404-578-3549. Again, that's 404-578-3549. You can call my warehouse. You can't get to me. If you really want to come by, take a tour or something like that, just call 404-286-6700. That's 404-286-6700. That's the warehouse number. Or you can come on by the warehouse, the plant. Come on by for this 10,000 square feet. It's 2571 Park Central Boulevard in Decatur, Georgia, 30035. And then you go on all my media things of Sir Mark New Hagens, SirMarkAdoo, Sir Mark New Hagens, HAGGINS. And please go on my website at heavenlybodyproducts.com. That's heavenlybodyproducts.com or chronickeller.com. That's shoes for our brothers and sisters that's having trouble with getting jobs and stuff like that. We turn them into business people quick with that air freshener, okay? And that's, again, chronickeller.com, K-R-O-N-I-C, killer, K-I-L-L-E-R.com.
Awesome. And I will have that information for you at the end of the show. So when you come back on the feed, I will put it out there. It will be there. And also, I just want to thank you, brother, because you always bring it now. I love it. You always bring it. But
yes,
I accept the invitation. You know, like I said, you know, you've always been open. I appreciate you for that. And I appreciate what you're doing for the community. And you're such an awesome example how, regardless of what tragedy or tragedies you go through, you can always turn around to prosperity, to triumph. It's always, and then, like you said before, you know, paying it forward. And you are definitely paying it forward with your situation. You are definitely paying it forward. So thank you so much. And just hang out for me for a second. So for those who are tuning in, you are actually tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Bettina Carpenall, and I had the privilege and the pleasure of speaking to Sir Marcus Du Higgins. Well, I should say Dr.
Mark P. Higgins Sr.
Dr. Mark P. Higgins Senior. So talking about an example of someone who has gone through, I mean, have gone through the trenches and with, and just like everybody else, okay? And ain't just one person. I know that I've gone through it. I've been through my situation. I've gone through it and did some amazing choices I should not have made. And as a result, you know, almost committed suicide, was started to commit suicide, about to lose my mind, and called on Jesus, just like the marketer did when he was about to commit suicide. Razor, called on Jesus, and you can't call on him because he will be there. He will be there. He will come where you are. It don't matter where you at. He will come where you are. So I thank you for sharing. Now, some announcements. As you all know, I'm coming to one of those who don't know. I am about to end my third year of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. Some changes are going on. We now have a new sponsor, as I mentioned earlier. And I do have a Chronicles of a Favorite Woman Facebook page. I am asking you if you would kindly go over there and like the page and send it to someone who may enjoy it. All of our shows will now come on the Chronicles page, and starting next Sunday, I will be broadcasting not off of my personal page, but I will be broadcasting off of the Chronicles of a Favorite Woman page. So for those who have already liked it, I thank you so much. And but as of next week, we're going to go over as far as the live shows. I want to see if I can share it. The business side of it is different than the personal side. But starting next Sunday, you will have to catch the show not on my personal page. I will be doing it live on the Chronicles of a Favorite Woman Facebook page. And for those who are always tuning in and listening, I thank you for your continuous support, your sincere support. Thank you for the DMs. Thank you for the emails. Just thank you for the phone calls that you all have been giving. I mean, they've been here. You all have been hanging in. Those who are here in the States, in Georgia, North Carolina, New York, everywhere, and also internationally. You know, South Korea, just Australia, Africa, South America, you all have been awesome, and Canada. So I thank you all very much. I want you to know, regardless of what your situation is, as we're ending Sexual Awareness Month, that you could turn any tragedy into a triumph and also prosperity. If you know someone who can benefit from this show, have them go back to my page and listen to it. With that being said, God, I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.
Good night.